And on Tuesday mornings, we go live to the seat of the federal government and Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter David Farenthold at the Washington Post. And I want to talk with him about the most powerful man in America, by which I mean Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, a state which more than I'm somewhat familiar with West Virginia, and I think they need more road work than possibly any other state in the nation, even us. And yet he seems to be blocking the whole Build Back Better plan. So do you know what his agenda is? What is it that he's holding out for?
Dave, I just wanted to note that I once spent 6 hours stranded in Pikeville, Kentucky because of a flat tire I got in West Virginia. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
So Manchin has a huge amount of power here, obviously. The Democrats wouldn't be in the position to be talking about this if it wasn't for him. He wins, at least last time he won in a Trump-dominated state. So they're lucky to have him. If he wasn't there, they would be talking to Mitch McConnell's Senate.
Yep.
That said, he has the power to block anything, and he has different priorities than a lot of the Democrats. So, on climate, for instance, I think he opposes anything that would sort of seem punitive toward coal miners. I think that in the end, the Democrats will pass both their big infrastructure bill and this other big bill, whatever exactly it turns out to be.
So you think?
I do.
I'm hearing a lot of people getting worried. I mean, Biden has promised to give the coal miners jobs installing solar panels, right?
This is a negotiation, and Manchin has a huge amount of power. And I feel like every time we see him come out and say, well, I don't know, I'm not going to go for it the way it is, he's negotiating. He would be an idiot to let this go by and not use his power to get in West Virginia, to help his people in West Virginia. And I think he will. He's reminding people that this is going to have to be done on his terms. So, a lot of this, I think, is aimed at the House. People in the House, the Democrats in the House generally are more liberal than Joe Manchin, and they want to try to send a bill, in addition to the infrastructure bill, to send a big bill that would do stuff, spend more money or do stuff that Manchin doesn't want. He's telling them, look, I'm in the driver's seat. But ultimately, this gets done, because if this gets flipped over next year and it becomes Mitch McConnell's Senate, Joe Manchin has nothing. So why wouldn't he use his power now?
Yeah. Is the handling of Afghanistan going to hurt the infrastructure bill? Is that going to basically be like a, like a poison pill?
I don't think so. As horrible as that was, and as horrible, especially as the loss of life was, I think that because of COVID and a number of other things, Washington is moving on to other topics. And so I think that, as terrible as Joe Biden's month of August was, I think Biden and the Democrats are eager to turn the page. And frankly, the Republicans are helping them with the way that they're handling COVID by making vaccinations the hill that the Republican Party is willing to die on. Mm-hmm. I think they're helping to turn the page for Biden and help him move on to other topics.
Yeah. Okay. Since you are Texas born and raised, I haven't asked you about the politics there lately. I'm just really curious how this whole idea of using lawsuits to police a very personal thing like abortion is going down. I looked into the issue a little bit. I mean, it got votes from women in the Republican women in the Texas legislature. So I'm just curious what the mood is of the general population of Texas. Are they all celebrating this as a triumph, or are they a little bit worried that this just gets too close to everybody snitching and everybody else?
Well, I think there's two things you have to consider here. One is that, in general, Republicans for the last 30 years have been passing bills on abortion in state legislatures that they never thought they'd actually have to get to implement. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of states that have laws saying, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, we're going to ban abortion. I don't think anybody – those were costless things for them because their base liked it, and they didn't actually have to deal with the consequences of a world in which abortion was illegal. Texas kind of caught the dog. It was a dog that caught the car here.
Yep.
And I think we don't really know what the impact is going to be yet until we start seeing it enforced. It seems like a lot of clinics have just stopped doing abortions, after 6 weeks anyway, just because they feared these kind of lawsuits. But if they start, I think that you could see some real backlash. The other factor that I mentioned earlier, I said there were two factors. The other one is Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, basically doesn't fear anyone in the Democratic Party. There's no Stacey Abrams in Texas. There's no Raphael Warnock in Texas that he thinks can beat him. His only fear is from the right. Obviously, there was Beto O'Rourke a couple of years ago who really gave the Republicans a scare, turned out huge numbers of Democrats in Texas. But Beto O'Rourke then immediately blew himself up by running for president and running on an anti-gun platform. So he'll never have a chance of beating Abbott in Texas. Matthew McConaughey might, but Beto won't. And as long as there's no credible Democrat like Warnock or John Ossoff or Stacey Abrams in Georgia who can like maybe flip the state, bring together a coalition big enough to beat Abbott, he's just going to go further and further to the right.
Okay, does this help? I mean, some people have argued this helps Democrats nationally because they're saying if, at least in 2022, they're saying if you vote Republican, this is going to spread to the rest of the, at least to the rest of the red states.
It sure might. I mean, I think it doesn't have the same impact, I think, as Roe versus Wade being overturned. I think that's what everyone sort of, you know, in their minds, that's what the big news looks like. And this was sort of designed to sort of sneak under the radar, both of the courts and of the public. But if other states start doing this, if you start reading about the sort of, you know, people start suing the Uber drivers that take women to abortions as apparently as possible in the Texas law, that could be really different. I'm always hesitant to predict what's going to happen with midterms so far out. But I think if people really notice this, there could be a big backlash.
Which brings me to this other thing that the Democrats are doing, and that is trying to basically link every Republican they can with Trump. And that's certainly in play in California with today's election, the recall election, where the Newsom people are saying, you know, if you vote me out, then you have, if we're talking about Larry Elder, a Trump acolyte going to run California. Is that going to work?
I think it's definitely working in California. I mean, obviously today's the election day, but the latest polls have shown that Newsom, who was, you know, kind of neck and neck with recall back a month ago, is now, you know, favored to win by 16 or 17 points. Look, the interesting thing about California is not just that Newsom is trying to tie his opponent to Trump, which is sort of expected. It's that the opponent has ended up tying himself to Trump. Larry Elder, this guy, this radio host, sort of started out, I think, as kind of an independent thinking libertarian, not a Republican Party man. But in trying to woo the Republican electorate, all they ask him about is Trump stuff. And he's kind of gone further and further toward Trump. He started talking about a rigged election in 2020 when previously said it was not rigged. He started talking about how this election is rigged already. You know, he's started embracing all these Trump talking points because that's what Republican interviewers, with Republican voters ask him about. And so if that's what happens in 2022, you know, it's going to be hard for people in states that are purple or blue, like California, to run away from Trump if their own voters demand that they sort of visibly and vocally support Trump themselves.
So Trump remains powerful enough that no Republican essentially can afford to say he was wrong about anything.
Well, I guess we don't know that. I sort of, you know, it would have been interesting to see if Larry Elder, I mean, this recipe that he took in California was a recipe for failure because California is a very blue state. Yeah. It would be interesting to see if, you know, if somebody like him had done the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing and said, like, I'm conservative, but I'm my own man. I'm my own person. I'm not a Donald Trump acolyte. You know, tried to aim at the middle in California, which might have worked. We don't have a good experiment because Elder took the other path.
David Farenthold from The Washington Post. Thanks, David. Have a good week.
Thank you, too.
It is 8:23.